There you go. Okay. Okay, so good evening, everybody. Welcome. What I'd like to try and do in these Monday night shiurim is topics in the second paragraph of Maseches Pesachim, parak kol shor. You can go through the Masechta of the parak, you know, on your own, and, you know, with either with Gemara and Rashi or with article or something else that'll help you learn it. I'm not going to go through reading line by line. I'm going to try and take general topics relating to the subjects that are discussed in this parak, the second parak, and you know, try and give you some insights and some things to think about. Each week I'll try and send out, I don't know what's going to happen now with Yontif in terms of the timing, but generally speaking, we're meeting Monday nights at this hour. So I'll try and have marmakomas beforehand that we'll send out. And the marmakomas, you don't necessarily have to prepare them in advance. You can look them over. Some of them might be too difficult for you to prepare or too involved. And we'll try and refer to certain things during the shiur itself. So when we turn to any parak in Pesachim, obviously, I mean, some of you, I guess, are learning Oral Arbos, so the first parak, talking about Bedikas Chametz. So obviously the Isser of Chametz is a significant component to the entire Pesach story. We think of Pesach in terms of the Seder, that really is discussed in the 10th parak. Some of you might be learning that. I'm not sure what all the different shurim are learning. But the second parak talks about the Isser Chametz, and note at the beginning that chametz is in a category or is a type of what we call macholos asuros, right? They're forbidden foods. Chametz is far from the only food that we're prohibited from eating, right? Chametz is on Pesach, but obviously there are many more things that we're forbidden to eat. And the question is, you know, is chametz simply it's one of the macholos asuros? Is it the same? Is it different? Is it unique? So, you know, in the first of the sources that I printed is the Rambam's Hakdama, or it's called sometimes the Koseres, the Hilchos Macholos Asuros, which is a section by itself in the Rambam's volume called Kedusha. The volume Kedusha has Isurei Bia. One second, let me let in the next group of people here. The Rambam's section Kedusha has the laws of Isurei Bia, the laws of the prohibited sexual relations, and has the laws of Shechita, and also the laws of Macholos Asuros. So in the introduction to the volume, or the section of Macholos Asuros, the Hakdama, the Koseres, the Rambam has a list, as he does, of all the mitzvahs that are found in this section. I don't know if you're aware of this or think about it that much, but I'll mention it now. The Rambam really has three different lists of all the mitzvahs. Three different lists. There is the Sefer HaMitzvahs, right? The Sefer HaMitzvahs, in which he goes, not in the order that it's presented in the Chumash, but rather in his own order. And sometimes that order is a little hard to figure out what the order is. But the Rambam has an order of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, the Taryag mitzvahs, called the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He begins the Sefer HaMitzvahs with certain klalim, certain principles, 14 principles, as to how he's going to determine whether to count something as a mitzvah or not, right? I mean, some of you, I'm sure, have studied this. Some mitzvahs, for example, let's say we're coming up to Sukkot. So the Arba Minim, right? Are there four different mitzvahs? One mitzvah to take a lulav, and one mitzvah to take an esrog, and one mitzvah to take hadasim, and one mitzvah to take a rava. So no, there's one mitzvah that has four parts, right? So how do you count that in terms of your tally of 613? We have a tradition that there were 613 mitzvahs. It never says in the Chumash exactly which are the 613 mitzvahs, how you count them, how you list them. We have that tradition. The Gemara, some of you will remember, the very end of Makkos mentions it. Others mention other places in the Midrashim. But there are, we have a tradition of 613 mitzvahs. So the Rambam listed off all of the mitzvahs. Again, not in the order of appearance. Let's say the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch lists the mitzvahs in the order of appearance, based on the Parshas of Shavua. But the Rambam has his own order. The Rambam has a different order. That's one work, the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Then he has what's called the Minyan HaKotzer. In the introduction to the Yad HaChazok, in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah once again lists all the mitzvahs without any details, without any information. In other words, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gives you a paragraph, a little bit about the mitzvah, where it's discussed in the Gemara and what the basic mitzvah is and what it's about. Okay, not too much information, but a paragraph or so, a paragraph or two about the mitzvah, sometimes a little bit more. But the Minyan HaKotzer, all he does is list the mitzvah. Here's the mitzvah, period. That's printed. That follows the same order, by the way, as the Sefer HaMitzvahs. That's called the Minyan HaKotzer, the shorter list. Then the third time the Rambam lists the mitzvahs is in the Mishnah Torah. In every section of the Mishnah Torah, he has what's called a Hakdoma or a Koseres, an introductory comment before Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, what mitzvahs are being dealt with in this particular halacha. So let's say Hilchos Tshuva. In Hilchos Tshuva, he prints an introduction as one mitzvah to do vidui, right? And tells you where it comes from. That's all. That's not following the order in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and Minyan HaKotzer. That's following the order of the Mishnah Torah. So in every section, so here in Hilchos Macholos HaSuras, you take a look in Source 1, he has that there are 28 different mitzvahs associated with the Macholos HaSuras. And in the beginning, talks about checking for Bedika, right? At the beginning, it talks about you have to know what the simonim are. How do we tell something's a kosher animal? Non-kosher animal, kosher bird, non-kosher bird, and so kosher fish, non-kosher fish, and so on. So the first few are about that. But if you start, you look at the starting hay on the third line there of source number one, shalala lechol behema v'chaya tameima, not to eat non-kosher animals. Vav, shalala lechol ov tomei, shalala lechol dogim tameim, shalala lechol sheretz ov, shalala lechol sheretz aretz, shalala lechol remes aretz, shalala lechol tolas haperos, kishetetz alavir, fruit inside the... inside a bug or a worm inside fruit, right? That's the old joke. You know, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple, right? Finding half a worm in your apple. Okay. So then, anyway, the point being that that's an issa to eat the worm, right? Shalol echol sheretz hamayim, shalol nevela. Nevela means an animal that died, a kosher animal. Nevela is a kosher animal. Just died in a means, through a means other than through a proper shechita. Let's say it died of old age, or it was hit by a truck, or whatever. It died in some other fashion. Somebody shot it. That's called a nevela. Shalol hennes mishor anisko. Okay, an animal sure was stoned for gory. Shalol echol treifa. A treifa, in slang, in Yiddish, we refer to treif as something that's non-kosher. But treifa really has a specific meaning. Treifa means an animal that has some sort of damage, internal damage to its organs that will prevent it from living out the year. Okay, some kind of a hole in the lung, other types of damage, not a broken toe, but an animal, a type of blemish that will render it unable to live for a year. That's called a treifa. In the slang, in the Yiddish, we say that anything non-kosher, we say it's treif. Right, that's what the word used. We say, let's say, pork is technically not treif. Pork is a non-kosher animal, or a beef that came from an animal that wasn't shechted is technically not a treif. It's not treif. It's an avela, but we use the word treif in a broader sense. Shalol echol ev menachai, shalol echol dam, shalol echol chelav behemet tahora, chelav the different fats, the gidon noshe. Okay, basa becholav chav, not to eat basa becholav, even if it's a kosher animal and kosher milk, but you can't eat the meat and milk together. Shalol echol lechem tuach together. Shalol echol lechem tuach chadosh, that's chadosh, right, from the new grain before Shavuos. Okay, I'm sorry, before the second day of Pesach. And so on and so forth. Orla is fruit from the tree the first 3 years it's been planted. Tevel. Tevel is peros, kosher fruits. They're just fruits, but trumas and maasos weren't taken from it. You get the idea. So there are a lot of different macholas asuras. What's missing on this list? Chametz on Pesach. It's interesting ha'ara. The Rambam lists off all of these different forbidden foods. It does not list chametz on Pesach. Okay? Interesting. He does list the Yisra to eat Chometz on Pesach in Hilchos Chometz U'Matzah, in the parallel, the Koseres, the Hakdoma, the Hilchos Chometz U'Matzah, in source number two. So then he has all the mitzvahs that relate to Pesach. And number one is, Shalola Chometz B'Yom Arbosa Mechatos Hayom L'Mala. You can't eat Chometz from half the, midday on Erev Pesach and on. The Rabbanah made it a little bit earlier. But the Rice, it's midday. And Lahashbi Sorm Arbosa, you have to get rid of all the Chometz. So we'll assume Sor and Chometz are identical for the moment. You have to get rid of all the Chometz. And, of course, Shalola Echol Chometz Kol Shiva. You can't eat Chometz all 7 days. That's different. There's two different Yisurim. One is not to eat Chometz on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, right, after midday, and the Rabbanah made it a little bit earlier. So that's why every year we have to look and see. You're not allowed to eat Chometz past 11:32, or whatever time it is that year, right? That's Midor Rabbanah. Midor Raisa, it's midday. Okay, and also Dalet Shalola Echol Tarovas Chometz Kol Shiva. Even if you have a mixture, Tarovas Chometz means when you have a mixture that less than 50% of the ingredients is Chometz thick. Chometz Gomer means that more than 50% of the ingredients is Chometz thick. Tarovas means you have a mixture, it's less than, you're not allowed to eat that either, right? Chometz on Pesach is also b'mashu. And if it's hay and vav, bal yiro and bal yamotzi, you can't have Chometz in your possession on Pesach. Then only the last three have to do with what we're familiar with Pesach. I'm sorry, the last two, eating matzah and telling over the story. But anyway, this is the Rambam. So it's interesting to note right off the bat that the Rambam does not lump chametz on Pesach together with the other machalos asuras in his introduction to Hilchos Machalos Asuras. That could be because it's in a separate section. It relates to Pesach. Don't make any fuss about it. You know, it's not teaching anything significant. He has a separate section. Chametz has so many other details associated with it. You can't own it. You have to burn it and this and that. So the Rambam put it in a separate section. So it's not the fact that he doesn't list it in Hilchos Machalos Asuras may just be because, you know, he discussed it at length elsewhere. Or you could say that maybe that's not listed together because chametz, in terms of very character, is very, very different than the others. The Rambam lists all the things that are more closely related, but chametz is not. Chametz is so different. The issur of chametz on Pesach is not parallel to the issur of other machalos asuras. So you can really, analyze that. But in order to analyze that, let's digress for a moment and discuss. Well, one second. Are all the other machalos asuras? What is that? Is that one category? All the other machalos are kind of similar. Or not. In other words, you could say there's kind of two ways, you know, to understand. You could say that really there's one big thing called Machalas Asuras, right? There's one Isser, if you will, called Machalas Asuras. And Machalas Asuras has 20-something different ramifications, right? There are 20 different types, and Chometz is different. And that's why it's not listed there. Or the other way of understanding is that, no, Machalos Asuras is not really one big category with lots of little, you know, details, so to speak. There's really nothing in common other than they're forbidden foods. They're not related in any way. And so, you know, it's kind of, you can analyze it to both ways, in which case the only reason Chometz isn't mentioned on that list is because he has Chometz in the second section. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, you could say that all the others are linked together. There's a category called Machalas Asuros. What's Machalas Asuros? So this is also, and that's also, but there's one general category called Machalas Asuros. Okay? Or therefore Chometz, by not being part of it, is separate. Or you can say, no, there's not really one big category of machalos. They're all different. Arla's got nothing to do with with nevela, which really has nothing to do with treifa. They're all separate. Okay, I'll give you a marshal amal davar dome in Hilchos Shabbos. Right. So you know there's an issur to do malacha on Shabbos. We know that there are 39 malachas that are forbidden on Shabbos. Right. So is there one issur, general issur, to do malacha on Shabbos? Right, that's one way to look at it. There's one general iser to do malacha on Shabbos, okay, and there's also an asay to rest on Shabbos and so on, okay. Is there one general iser of malacha on Shabbos, and then there are 39 particulars. You can't cook, and you can't sow, and you can't plant, and you can't tie, and you can't untie, and you can't build, and you can't destroy. All the 39 malachas. Well, really, no, they're really all separate. I'm not talking about in terms of counting them as mitzvahs. I'm just talking about conception, all separate things. They're kind of loosely united under a title, Melachas on Shabbos. What's a nafgamina for that? So actually, when it comes to Shabbos, some of you may remember, if you studied Klal Gadol on Shabbos, so you may remember that let's say a person, Bishogeg, violated all these different melachas. He wrote a letter to somebody, then he planted something, then he cooked something, then he tied something, then he then he shechted an animal, did all these different things that are melachas. Okay? Did he fundamentally violate one isser? He violated Shabbos. He didn't know, it wasn't religious, whatever, he didn't know about Shabbos. So he's a shogeg. Okay? So how many of the, how many korbanos do you have to bring now? When it becomes observed, how many covers have to do? So every single one? Okay, oh no, he really made only one mistake. He didn't know that these dinim were forbidden on Shabbos, right? That's a distinction, whether it's one big thing with 39 pratims. Usually when it comes to Shabbos, we assume there's one iser, malach on Shabbos, and there are 39 pratim within the mitzvah. They're not individual in that regard, okay? So you only have to bring, so to speak, one korban chata. So we could say that the same thing, macholas asuras, are all these things lumped together. So let's say the same question. Somebody in the shogeg, he ate a nevela, and then he didn't know the dinim. He wasn't religious or whatever. He didn't know, wasn't educated in the laws of the Torah. So he sat down and he had a piece of ham, which is behemoth tamea. Okay, then he also had some kosher meat with, you know, he went to the kosher store and bought a kosher steak, and he had that together with cheese, right? So he ate basar with challah, then he cooked it, right? And they all, so how many averes did he do, so to speak? What does he need kapara for, right? What does he have to do in terms of karbanas, with shogeg? Is there one category called machalas asuras? Well, no, they're really not related. It's just kind of loosely connected, right? So that's one nafkamina would be shogeg. The truth of the matter is, it looks, when it comes to machalas asuras, that they're not really united. Okay, there's not one category called Macholas Asuras, because there are a number of differences between them. A number of, they look in the list of Macholas Asuras, they really don't seem to have any necessarily. They don't all follow the same rules. You know, they don't all seem to have the same rules. So, for example, some of them, as we'll see, seem to be an Isser in the Gavra to eat it, and some of them it's an Isser Chefza. Sometimes the Torah uses the word Toeva to do something disgusting, something which is. You know, because Baruch Hu finds this disgusting. Kol shetiavti lecha lo sochal kol toeva. Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, lo sochal kol toeva. So certain forbidden foods are considered to be toeva. Maybe orla, you know, eating the fruit of a tree the first 3 years are not described as toeva. So again, I'm trying to demonstrate when it comes to the machalas asuras, it's not necessarily the case that they're all the same. Okay. Also, by some of the Macholas Asuras, and this is an important point, the Torah never exactly uses the word Achila in formulating the Isser. The most famous example of that, of course, is Basa B'cholov. We had last year in Chulin. Remember, some of you must have learned that, okay? That discussion in Chulin, right? And Basa B'cholov, Torah never says you're not allowed to eat Basa B'cholov. What does it say? Right? Lo Savash Shel Gadi B'chalei Bimos. It says it three times. And one of the three times teaches us that there's not allowed to eat it. Okay, but the Torah never actually has the phrase that you're not allowed to eat Bas v'cholov, okay, which gives rise to the fact that perhaps by things where it says the isser is achila, so I would perhaps only violate the isser if I ate it kederach achila, I ate it in a normal fashion, you know, with the way you normally eat something. Whereas since bas v'cholov, perhaps it would be usser, again, somebody may discuss this last year, even if I ate it shalom kederach achila, because it wasn't formulated as achila. Yeah, you're showing. Unmute yourself.
Rebbe, could it be possible to say that one common thing between all of them is that the Isser exists the entire lifetime of the object, as opposed to Chametz, which only has an Isser part of the time?
Very good,
so
very good.
And that Machalas Asuras.
Right, so we'll see about that. That's a very important distinction, okay, between Chametz and other things, because, you know, hold the thought, yes, absolutely. Although the truth of the matter is, again, some of them have limited the fruits of it. Well, it'll be the lifetime of that object. So it'll be true. But on the other hand, let's say Tevel, once you separate the Trumas and Mayas, it becomes Mutter, right? If I have Tevel. So, but it's still an important horror. Please, we'll come, hold the thought. We'll come back to that. Okay. Anyway, that was another Derech Achila, Shaloka Derech Achila. That's another possible distinction. Also, sometimes Chazal speak about forbidden foods as being Mitam Temes Halev. Okay, it spoils or it, what's the right word? It contaminates, so to speak, your heart, your soul. You eat this food, right? If you eat dam, for example, the Ramban writes in Chumash that a person who eats dam, so you begin to take on the characteristics of the animal that whose blood it was, right? Do we say that by all machalas? We don't say that by you know, by tevel and so on. So you see that there are certain distinctions, all right? So that's really. You know, that I think there's other proofs, so to speak, that hammer home that there's not really one unit called Macholas Asuras, and therefore it's not terrible that, you know, that it's not a big thing that Chum is not part of it. Again, Yeshurun's point notwithstanding, which we'll come back to. So it's interesting because Lemaisa, the punishments, the onshin are different. You look on that list in the Rambam, the first source, they're not all subject to the same punishment, okay? Certain things are an Isser Lav, okay? And perhaps some of the things are an Isser Asay, some are Chiv Koris, right? In Chelev and Dam is a Chiv Koris, right? When it comes, the other things that are also not on the list, eating carbonus and so on, not in the right place or not in the right time, right? There are other things that are also not mentioned there. And so the punishments are different, the onshin are different. And the fact that something has a different onish, perhaps indicates it's not part of the same category, although we remember the Mishnah Pirkei Avos that says, have a zayir b'mitzvah kala k'mechamura. We don't really understand how onshin works, right? We don't know exactly, why certain averus need a greater kapara than other averus, but that's one thing, okay? I do want to mention, again, what I said before about derech achila. I should mention, since we're coming up to it, by Yom Kippur, it actually never says to eat on Yom Kippur either. I'm sorry, it never says not to eat on Yom Kippur. Torah never said not. What does it say? And remember, ve'inisem esnafsho sechem, or te'anu esnafsho sechem. That's the word used. Some kind of a self-affliction, so to speak. But it never used the word now to eat on Yom Kippur. And that has an afkamin and alik, which we spoke about. Like we mentioned again, you know, when by Basa B'cholov, it doesn't have a language of achila. It also hasn't by kila karim. kelayim. Okay, when you plant a vine, you know, a grape-producing tree next to in the same area as vegetables, so that's called kelayim. So the kelayim hakarim is also never used as pentik dash. You never use the word achila, and that's why by those we have a halachic ramification, namely that there is an iser even shaloka derech achila. But by Yom Kippur, we learn something else. Okay, usually the chiyuv of achila of b'chalas asur is a kezayis. What's the minimum? Is a kezayis. By Yom Kippur, it's a kosevis. It's a little bit bigger than a kezayis. It's a kosevis. Why? Because it never uses the same word achila. So the fact is that there's different. All this points to the fact that all these machalos asuras are not really united as one principal iser. All right. If we take a look at something else, look in the sources. The pasuk in Parshas Re'eh says lo so in source 3 Re'eh Perik Yud Dawud pasuk Chaf Aleph in Devarim 3 lo sochel kol nevela. Again, if you remember last year from Chulin, you had this pasuk. Right now, I'd eat a nevela. Rather, you can give it or sell it to a non-Jew. So that means there's no iser hana. Right, nevela is no iser hana. I'm allowed to sell a piece of non-kosher meat to a goy. I'm not supposed to make a business out of it. That shouldn't be your primary parnasa, but you're allowed to sell to a goy. Ki am kadosh atol Hashem Elokecha. And then it says again. That's the third time it says in the Torah. Lo sevasha gdi b'chalei b'mo. So the Ramban there comments in source 4 in Perek Yudal Dor and Pasuk Chaf Aleph that Tam Ki Am Kadosh Atol Hashem Elokecha Dovekim Lo Svashu Gdi B'Chalei B'Mo. That Am Kadosh is really projecting forward. The key Am Kadosh is not going on the previous part of the pasuk, which says Lo Sochel Kol Nevela, but rather on the following part of the pasuk, which says Lo Svashu Gdi B'Chalei B'Mo. We're not allowed to eat Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Why not? Because we're a holy people. We're supposed to be kedoshim. And when you take a milk, when you cook a kid, the literal definition of lo sevashal gdi b'chalei b'mo, you take a meat of an animal and you cook in its own mother's milk, that's a midas achzorius, right? It's vicious, like osav es b'no, you know, eating the same, you know, like killing the mother and the child the same day, right? It's considered to be a violation, so to speak, of our kedusha, okay? So sometimes, by machalas asuras, there's a pagam, so to speak, in our kedusha. Now let's come to the point that Yeshurun mentions as we transition into chametz. Okay, there are really a whole bunch of different limitations on all the machalos asuras. Okay, for example, zman, like you mentioned, well, chametz on Pesach is only asur on Pesach, right? The rest of you can eat chametz. Your issur of eating on Yom Kippur. Okay, which is why, by the way, Yom Kippur would not have been mentioned among the Machalos Asuras, because every Machal is also in Yom Kippur, right? But that's only Zmani, that's only temporary, it's only applies at a certain time, okay? There are other Isurim of Machalos Asuras that only apply in a certain place. For example, when it comes to Ma'aser Sheni, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. You're not supposed to eat Ma'aser Sheni, or by all the Karbonas. You're not allowed to eat certain Karbonas, you're not allowed to eat outside the compound of the Beis HaMikdash, meat from the Karbonas, right? Other Karbonas, Kachim Kalim, you can eat outside the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside Yerushalayim. So again, there are limitations on Achila that have to do with time, that have to do with place, okay? Sometimes there are limitations that depend on the individual, on the Gavra, on the person. Right, a kohen's allowed to eat truma, and a non-kohen's not allowed to eat truma. Right, so that depends on. For me, truma is if I'm not a kohen. I don't know if anybody here is on who is a kohen. Well, Pinchas is a kohen, but the rest of us are not kohanim. Many of us are not kohanim, so I'm not allowed to eat truma. But a kohen is allowed to eat truma. So that depends on the individual. Okay, and sometimes you have another situation with karbanos, like an onen or whatever. So certain things. These are all things that relate to Machalos Asuras, which to me point to the idea that the Machalos Asuras is not one unified front. Okay, but now let's move to Chometz and let's figure out. Yeah, sorry, Yeshurun. Yeah, yeah.
Rebbe mentioned that a possible like a dechia to that would be, let's say, Tevel, which let's say once you change it, it's able to change its status. Like yeah. Chometz. Could one say in response to that and say that Tevel requires an action by a person, but Chometz automatically by time.
Okay, so very good. I think it's a very important point. So let's move into chametz. Thank you. We'll segue right into chametz. Okay, let's segue into chametz now. Again, today's shiur is just like an introduction. It's a general hagdama. Okay, although we'll obviously consider in a moment something from the Gemara. Okay, on the one hand, we'll see that the major sugya on Chaf Aleph Mabeis, you should really spend time, if you have the time, to spend time, the famous machlokes Chizki and Rabbi Avo. Okay, and really there, chametz in that sugya is kind of, is treated together with the other Isur Achila. Okay? It is related to the other Isur Achila. Okay? One striking difference, Yeshurun just mentioned, one striking difference between Chometz and all the others is that absolutely no Maisa, nothing has to be done that to generate this Isur. You have a piece of bread which yesterday was Mutter, today is Osir. Right? It just, you know, all of a sudden becomes Pesach, now it becomes Osir. You didn't do anything and nothing happened to it. It didn't, you know, right? So that's really no Maisa it causes something to become Chometz, right? I mean, it just is. And it was Mutter yesterday, it's Osir today, and it'll become Mutter again after Pesach. Right? So in that sense, Chometz, you're absolutely correct, is really terribly unique. Okay? It's not parallel to anything. No mice and no action became usher. All of a sudden, something's mutter, and now it became usher. We don't really have that with anything else. That it was mutter, all of a sudden, now it became usher. Okay? Again, you have Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur is not on the food. Okay? The food's not, you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but you know, yesterday I could eat, and tomorrow I could eat, but it's not really the same. Here we're saying this particular class of food is taka usher on also on Pesach, without any Maisa being done, all right? By the way, there's a big discussion, maybe we'll talk about it some other time, you know, this relates to pots and pans that I may have used during the course of the year for chametz. Perfectly kosher. I have my kitchen right now, right? I have chametz dikke pots. My wife bakes in or cooks or whatever she does with it. So those pots and pans, what is the status of the blia, of the absorbed flavor, right? It's mutter. What's the problem? It's mutter. Okay. It's we call heterabola. But that's a good question. Is it taka heterabola or is it isurabola? Because there is, and I'll have a difference for certain dina. But anyway, without going into that right now. All right. So that's in terms of chametz. Of course, there are in chametz as well, as we alluded to before, and three different zmanim of chametz. There's an isser on erev Pesach, there's an isser on Pesach, and there's an isser after Pesach called chametz she'avar olava Pesach. Okay, that's a question in the Gemara later around Daf Lamed, whether that's the derais or the rabbanon. But there's chametz. You know, there are three zmanim of chametz. There's an erev Pesach after chatzos until yontif begins at nightfall. That's called erev Pesach after chatzos. Then there's Pesach itself, the 7 days, or outside of Eretz, the 8 days of Pesach itself. Then there's Chometz Aval of Pesach. And again, it has also the Isser of Tarovas Chometz. So this really gives rise to the question that we've kind of established now that Chometz is different. Chometz is unique. All right. And again, whether that's why the Rambam left it out of the list of Macholos or not, I don't know. But I don't think that's why, because as we demonstrated, the Macholos Asuras, they're not all the same anyway. So he could have put Chometz in there, but Chometz is more details he puts in somewhere else. I don't think we have to make, you know, a bigger case of it than that necessarily. But we can now, you know, it's interesting. Is Chometz, in some ways, in a certain sense, and really maybe this is what Yeshua was driving at also, the chametz is a little bit more, a little less chomer. It's less, it's more kal. It's less chomer than certain other isurim, right? Because after all, it's not. It's certainly not going to be called toeva. We eat it all year long, right? You know, 95% of the year, you can eat this chametz, glatt kosher. Okay, so it's you know, nothing wrong with it. It's not objectively something you call toeva. Okay. In that sense, it's more kal. It's, you know, it's a very temporary type of situation. On the other hand, there are many other indications that chametz is more chomer than other machalos asuras. For example, it does have a chiyuv karis associated with it. Now, it's not the only one. Okay, dam and chelab also have an isur karis associated with it. But but Pesach, for example, as we said, chametz is also b'mashu, even a tiny drop. If the mixture is made on Pesach, if the mixture is made before Pesach, then the regular rules of bittul apply. But if the mixture is made on Pesach, then even the tiniest drop of chametz, and that's why, you know, sometimes it's just a, if you have a tarovis of chametz that was made before Pesach, so many assume that if it's batel, so it's batel from before, so you can use it on Pesach as well. But if the mixture happened on Pesach, then you have a problem. Then even also a mashu, and of course chametz you have to get rid of. Right, by your own, you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession. Okay, we don't find, there's no iser to have basar chalav in your possession. There's no iser to have pork, a ham sandwich in possession. I wouldn't advise keeping ham in your fridge because you may come to eat it by mistake. But there's no iser of having ham in your owning ham. Okay, but there is an iser to own chametz on Pesach. That's a unique type of iser. Now the Ran writes that that's an example of something which we call a siag min haTorah. Right, we know that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, asu siag la Torah. We're supposed to protect, make protective fences around the Torah. So we usually assume that's the job of the Rabbanan. Right, the Rabbanan tell you, not, according to the Torah, you're not allowed to, let's say, write on Shabbos. But the Chacham said, if you're going to handle a pen, then you're going to come to write with it by mistake. So don't even handle a pen. That's called mutzah. That's the Rabbanan, right? That's a siog. Well, the Torah really only prohibits eating red meat together with milk. Basar v'chalav is only regular meat, red meat, animal meat with milk. Midoraisa, there's no iser to eat chicken, poultry, together with milk. Okay, there's no iser because the Torah only says, L'shasha gedi, gedi is an animal. And the midoraisa, you can have chicken together with milk. But the Rabbanan said that since people sort of tend to equate chicken with meat, we kind of, like I pointed out many times in the past, and in America also, we refer to chicken, we call it dark meat, light meat, right? You like the dark meat, I like the light meat, whatever, right? Turkey and duck all like that. Duck's mostly dark meat, right? What do you mean? Meat. The word, operative word here is meat. So you do consider it meat. So therefore, the Chachamim said, they made a shog, and they said, don't eat chicken with milk, because you may come to eat red meat with milk, which is a derisa. The shog is usually made by the Rabbanan to protect something in the Torah. But every once in a while, it would seem that the Torah itself imposes a shog. The Torah itself will tell you something. Many disagree with that. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay about it. I think I discussed it once with a recurrent Shia last year. But anyway, some suggest that the Ran here in Pesachim suggests that the Bayura Bayamotze is because you shouldn't come to eat it. The reason you're not allowed to own chometz is the Torah made a siog for itself. You're not allowed to eat basar v'chalav. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to have chometz because you may come to eat it. Why don't we say the same thing by basar v'chalav or by other machalos asuras? Again, it comes back to the point that we mentioned just now. Because the rest of the year you're allowed to eat it. Basar v'chalav or pork or whatever, I'm never allowed to eat bacon. So I'm never allowed to eat it. So I won't make a mistake. I'm never allowed to. But bread, I'm used to eating. Bread, cake, I eat it all year long. I'm used to eating it, so I may, by mistake, come to eat it on Pesach. So therefore, they have an extra siog by Rabbi Motzi. But anyway, the fact that chometz is a koris, the fact that chometz is a mashu, the fact that all the isurim by Rabbi Motzi, and the asay on the flip side of tashbisu, that you have to destroy the chometz, so that seems to indicate that the chometz is talking more chomer. Okay, these are just, again, some general points. If you take a look, the very important pasuk in source number 5, Parshas Bo, Shmos Perek, Yud Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. So two things should strike us right away about that pasuk. First of all, it mentions Isser Chometz, not for the first time. It's mentioned earlier in Bo also. Okay, but it says, V'lo Yeachel Chometz, in conjunction with remembering the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You see that? No, the pasuk mentions the pasuk mentions the Isser Chometz as part of sort of the celebration of Pesach. That also makes Chometz unique, right? It's associated in this pasuk. It's associated with remembering events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, therefore we shouldn't eat Chometz, so to speak. In other words, it's not an independent Isser. It's connected to the Yom Tov of Pesach, right? It's connected to the celebration of Yom Tov, which again is only applicable during the Yom Tov. But even without that point, or besides that point, I think the Torah is hinting at the fact that when it comes to chometz on Pesach, it is part and parcel of the observance of the Yom Tov. It's not extraneous to Pesach; it's part of Pesach. That's what it says. It says lo yach, right? Look at it. It's almost like a non sequitur in the pasuk, right? It says, "Remember this day Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim." And by the way, don't eat chametz. What's it got to do? The answer is very much it has to do. It's part of the yontif, so to speak, right? But the other thing that strikes us and that leads us into the machlokas here in Pesachim and Chaf Aleph Mud Beis, okay, is the phrase "velo ye'ochel chametz." Lo ye'ochel chametz. I would expect it to say what? Lo tochlu or lo tochal chametz. Look back in source 3 when it's talking about nevela. Nevela again means an animal, a kosher animal, but it died through a mechanism other than, or through a means other than shechita. What's the operative verb at the beginning? Lo sochlu. Ye achel is an unusual term. It shall not be eaten, so to speak. It's passive. Okay? And that itself indicates something unique. Okay? It says lo ye achel. That's an area, but by the other machalas asuras, it'll say lo sochlu, or it won't, as we said by Basar v'chalav, it won't have the word you know, achil at all, but it'll say lo sevashel or pentikdash, you know, by kilay karim. But here we have an unusual expression. It says lo ye achel chametz. So that gives rise to an interesting machlokas between Chizkio and Rabbi Avohu on Daf Chof Aleph Beis in Pesachim. Because what it's telling us, Omar Chizkio, minayin lechametz bePesach she'oser b'hanoah. How do we know that not only I'm not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach, but I'm also allowed to get hanoah? Hanoah means I can't sell it to a non-Jew. Like I said before, when it comes to non-kosher meat, I can sell it to somebody. In fact, oftentimes that's what they do in the slaughterhouses. Let's say the kosher slaughterhouse, the kosher shecht cows to make beef, right? And then it turns out this cow had a puncture in the lung, was a trefa, wasn't going to live out the year. So now they have this meat, what are they going to do with it? So they sell it to the non-kosher slaughterhouse across the street. And then, you know, non-Jews don't have this prohibition, so they can eat this meat, right? There's no isser to get hanoah from it, to get benefit, but there is an isser hanoah when it comes to Pesach. So how do we know that there's an Isser Hanon when it comes to matzah, when it comes to chametz and Pesach? So he says, Shenemar lo ye achel chametz, our pasuk. It says, lo ye achel chametz. Lo yehebo heter achila. Okay, you can't have any kind of heter achila. Okay, anything which could possibly lead to any achila. What does that mean, anything which possible could lead? Lo ye achel. All right, so... if not for that, we would have known Issa Hanoah. That's what the Gemara says. According to Chizkiah, look in Rashi, source 7. Lo ye ochel, mi dekarina lo ye ochel, mi lo ye ochel, masha lo ye boheta, maybe lidei shum achila, ustam hanos lidei chila heim boz. Rashi says, the language implies anything which could possibly lead to achila. All right? Meaning, what happens? If I sell this, and I get the money, I sell this food, and I get the money from the non-Jew, he can eat it. Now, what can I do with this money? I can buy other food, right? What does Rashi say? Shalokach bedomim dvar meichel. I can buy other foods with this money. So indirectly, this chametz is leading to eating. You understand? That's what lo ye achel. Lo ye achel, okay, which we can read it, lo yocha, we read it, lo ye achel, means that there's an isra hanoah. I can't have any... Nothing is allowed. Not only am I not allowed to eat this chametz, but I'm not allowed to do with this chametz something which could conceivably lead me to eat something else, lead me to an achila. And what's that? Selling it. I sell it. I get the money for it. And that could lead me to eating something else, right? It's got to be totally removed, says Rashi, from the possibility of eating. All right? The Rashash over there in Pesach, in the back of the Gemara, Chaf Aleph and Beis, he has a different point. He quotes Rashi, but he says, well, Anias Daitiner, the lo yeachel mashma af leklovim. How does that teach you hanoah? Rashi is a little funny, because after all, if I sell chametz, let's say I sell chametz, I use it to buy a car. I mean, that's not going to lead me to eat anything. It could. If I sell something, get money, so it could lead me to spending that money on food. But it's a little strange, because when you get money for selling something, you don't necessarily, it doesn't have to be that it's going to buy, you're going to buy food. So Rashash has a different interpretation. I can't feed it to my dogs. Now, my dog is not obligated to observe chametz. Pesach, I mean, my dog, there's no issur chametz. A dog can eat chametz. It doesn't have to, observe the laws of Pesach. A dog's not obligated. My son was telling me that my son walks one of the neighbor's dogs sometimes. So he was talking about Tashrich. He said the dog should come. The dog did some bad things. He said he should come to Tashrich. You should get rid of all the averis. Okay, a dog doesn't have any averis. A dog can eat the chametz on Pesach. Okay, but if I feed my dog chametz on Pesach, so now I don't have to give him other food. So that's a financial benefit to me. Right, I'm gaining. I want my dog to be fed. It doesn't have to be dog, it can be any animal, right? I want my animal to be fed. Okay, I want my animal to eat. So that says the lo ye achel means it shouldn't be eaten by anybody, not just you're not allowed to eat it. If it's just, I can feed my dog a treif animal. If I have a shechted animal and it turns out that it was a treifus, I can feed the meat to the dogs or to my animals or whatever, to the tigers. All right, so I can do whatever I want with it, but not so chametz, lo ye achel. And that's where the idea of the Isra Hanoah comes in. That's the Rashash. So it's any type of eating, okay, even by animals. That can't derive any benefit. So the term lo ye achel comes to teach us that there's also an Isra Hanoah. It's all operating within the position of Chizkiah. On the other hand, okay, it may imply, okay, something else. And that is that the fact that it's an Issa Hanah tells us that when it comes to Chametz on Pesach, it's there's something about the Cheftza, and not just that I'm not allowed to eat Chametz, but that Chametz cannot be eaten. Okay, forget about, you know, selling it or feeding it to your dogs, okay? The Riyana Sami Lunil on the Riff in 9 says, right, that any hanoah is usur. In other words, it's not just hanoah of eating, but any type of hanoah, even if it has nothing to do with achila. Rashi seemed to limit it, and I'm not saying it's a big machlokas, but Rashi, in defining it, was saying that it relates, all relates back to eating. What if I want to smell the chametz? I enjoy the smell of chametz. Sometimes you walk by, if you have in your neighborhood a bakery, and you walk by the bakery, and smell, I think they do it on purpose. I think they turn on the vents to blow the, you know, the good smell out, so you'll come in and buy something. I think that's what some of the restaurants do on purpose. You know, they have the vents blowing outside, so that it smells delicious. Oh, I might grab a bite, right? When you walk by a bakery sometimes, oh, you know, fresh baked rolls, fresh baked bread, fresh baked brownies or whatever, it smells delicious. So you'll go in, right? So I'm not allowed to smell that either. So in other words, but the idea of lo yachel is this entire cheftza becomes usher in any type of hanah beyond eating. Okay, beyond nothing to do with eating. And nothing to do with selling it and using the money for food, or nothing to do with benefiting it from, like the rashas by feeding from the dog. You see that's the Maram Chalava Osim Psachim Chafalav Beis Lo Yeba Het Achila Kol Shenena Bechal Het Achila Hu Da Mishtar Shel Zuz Beis Inyan Shia. Okay, you benefit from it. But anyway, that's the point that that's unique, so to speak, about chometz. It becomes something. The entire chefza becomes a chefza shel iser. That's what I wanted to get. Okay, it's an iser chefza, and I see it's later. Right? So, how long is this supposed to go? I may know. Yeah, someone has a question. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Question. Yeah.
Sorry, Rebbe said that it would be an iser chefza within Rashi and the Rashash, or just that's a separate?
No, well, they don't formulate it as a chefza per se. They formulate it as it's just an extension of this achila, right? Achila includes, you know, the other types of hanoah, the way Rashi said, because it could lead to achila, or the way the Rashash said, your animal's eating it, but it's fundamentally an achila type of iser, right? On you, so to speak. The way the Rabbi Yonos in the Kohen Lunil says it, it's, you know, any type of hanoah. Rashi's not arguing. I don't think it's a machlokas in terms of halacha lemaisa, but it's a question of the emphasis. In other words, according to some Rishonim, okay, maybe the Maram Chalava also, okay, that hanoah, you know, is kind of like almost separate from achila. Two different things. There's achila and hanoah, right? Lo yeachel chametz is not really, according to this approach, perhaps this pasuk is not talking about this achila at all. Right, it's regardless. I don't know if maybe I don't explain it clearly. Now, according to the way Rashi and the Rashash seem to learn, it's something that connects to achila. The Isra Hanah, so to speak, is an outgrowth of the Isra Achila, so to speak. Whereas according to others, perhaps Isra Hanah is a separate. I mean, yeah, lo ye achel. From the fact that it's in the passive language, it means any other kind of benefit. It can't, that it's this cheftza is usher for any type of benefit. You know what I'm saying? It's again, I don't want to make a big machlokas where it may not exist, but I mean, it's just, I think that the question is whether Isra Hanah, so to speak, is really an outgrowth of the Isra Achila, or it's part of the, you know, it's all part of the same, or it's kind of like a separate thing altogether. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it's one other thing. We'll have to continue next. How long is the shiur supposed to be? 45 minutes.
Rebbe can go as long as Rebbe would like. I think the chaver would love to stay as long as Rebbe would give shiur for him.
Okay, I don't want to speak. Okay, I'll go for a few more minutes. Okay, I'll go for a few minutes. Just a moment. Let me just think through. I printed the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Lo Sasek Kuf Pei Zayin, which is talking about Basar B'Cholov. You see, it's interesting. It relates to this issue. It relates a little bit to this issue because we learned, and again, some of you may recall this from last year in Lerner Chulin. So, you know, when it comes to the Isser, the Isser of Basar B'Cholov, so it's three times, Lo Savasha B'Gliba Chalev Yimo. One is an Isser Bishul, one is an Isser Achila, one is an Isser Anah. You all know what I'm referring to, right? I think everybody covered that at one point or another last year in Chulin. So the Rambam counts the Isser of Bishul of Basar B'Cholov as an independent Isser. And he counts the Isser of eating Bas V'Cholov as an independent Isser. But he doesn't count the Isser Hanah as a separate Isser. So that's a big question because Lechora, again, some of you may remember from the Parakal HaBasar that the Gemara actually has a whole bunch of different sources how we know Bas V'Cholov is Usser. And, you know, the more famous reason of the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel, the three times, that's only one of five or six different reasons the Gemara presents. And the Rambam yet has another makor for it. But the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah has a different makor for it, based on a medrash somewhere. But here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he does mention the three times. Okay. So look in the second paragraph. He says, "Kan royally she'ermos al shorish gadol shelo kadim." I'm saying a new thing that nobody before have said. "V'zeh she'omis baruch ha'shashuk libachalimon nichpa b'tar shloshe pamin," right, three times, once in mishpatim, once in kisisa, once in rei. "V'amar v'lam de'aper she'kol lab memelu inyan." Every one of them is an iser. "Zeli sarchilim echadli sarchilim echadli sarchilim echadli sarchilim." Fine. So lamak sheyiksha the omer laeza davar manisa israchilasa isabishulo shtei mitzvahs. The Rambam is anticipating, why did you, Rabbi, count two of the three as an independent Israel? As a monofshal, either count all three or count one, which by the way some do. Okay, besides you go, but some count only one. But two is either count all. I think besides count all three. I forgot already. But some of the mitzvahs count one, some of them count three. It's a little strange to count two in a monofshal. Right? Either it's all one big thing or there's three separate things. So that's what the Rambam anticipates somebody asking. He says, Rabbi, so the Rambam here says, Achila again, he's not talking about comments, but he's talking about Basar B'Cholov. Achila and Hana is one package. What does it mean? The Hakavana Shulo Yehenabo Loba Achila Velobuzuloso. This hanah means don't eat and don't get any other hanah. Eating is not the only other hanah. It's a principal hanah that a person gets from something. Food, by definition, is called, it's what's the category of Isser? It's called ma'acholos asuros, right? Forbidden foods. Okay, but fundamentally the Rambam says that Isser, you know, Isser hanah. And now the Rambam brings in our Gemara, in Psochem Chafalam Beis, okay? Which is not the position of Rabbi Avo, I'm sorry, of Chizkia that we just mentioned, but the position of Rabbi Avo. Look back for a second. We'll come back to Rambam. Just look back for a second to that Gemara in Source 6, Psachim Chafalaf and Beis. Okay? Upliga de Bavo. The Chizkia said the fact that it says Lo Yachel Chametz is a special ribui to teach you not to have Hanaf from Chametz. Upliga de Bavo. Rabbi Avo disagrees. Rabbi Avo, Kol Mokom Shinemar Lo Yochel, Lo Socha, Lo Sochlu. It always means Isra Achila and Isra Hana. Whether it uses the term Ye Ochel, the Mavos, Rechizkia says, a unique rule when it has to have this passive form, Lo Ye Ochel. Either the way Rashi learned it because it's going to lead to food, or the way somehow the other Rishonim learned it, that it's any type of Hana, whatever it is, it's the word Lo Ye Ochel, says Chizkia. That's the key. Lo Ye Ochel. It shall not be eaten, maybe by not by yourself, not by someone you sell it to, not by an animal. Okay, whichever way we learned it before. But that's the, whereas Rabbi Avo is of the position that no, whenever the Torah says lo yochal, even the normal words, lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochlu, not the passive lo ye ochel, the funny expression in the Pasuk and Parshas Bo, anytime it always includes Isra Achila, Isra Hana, unless otherwise specified. So for example, back in source number 3, it was otherwise specified. It says, lo sochlu. Look back in source 3, Pasuk and Parshas A. Lo sochlu kol nevela, right? Don't eat nevela. But then the Torah goes on to say, but you can sell it to or give it as a gift to a non-Jew. Why did you have to tell me that? Of course, you can. Why not? Just can't eat it. So says Rabbi Avoh, Elamai, lo sochlu means not only not allowed to eat it, but it means you're not allowed to have hanah. Therefore, the Torah has to specify that, no, taka here, you can get hanah from it. You follow, you can sell it. or give it to a goy. You hear? That's the lumdus of Rabbi Avo. Okay, Rabbi Avo says, always lo socha. It's not lo ye ochel that teaches Issa Hana. Anytime there's an Issa Achila, there's an Issa Hana built in, unless the Torah specifies otherwise. And that's the big sugya, which comes out in the afternoon. If you're getting back to the Rambam, that's what he mentions. And therefore, he says that since Achila always includes Hanah, that's why he's justifying his position, that therefore, Ein ro'oi sheyimna isra Achila b'sanah shtei mitzvahs. Okay? That's why I don't count it as two mitzvahs. And then he says, because I would have counted them as two mitzvahs of Abbas B'cholav, all right? So then it should be two separate mitzvahs by chometz, there should be two separate mitzvahs by oil, and two separate mitzvahs by kilei kerem, okay? And, you know, if you take a look back in the Koseres, the Rambam's introduction to Hilchos Chometz HaMatzah, notice he doesn't count an Isra Hanah from chometz as a separate Isra. He counts by Yeruah and by Yomotzeh, but he doesn't count an Isra Hanah as a separate issue. He has, again, not eat chametz on the 14th, to get rid of your chametz, and to not eat chametz all week, and not a mixture of chametz, and buy or buy a matzah. He doesn't count in Isra Hanah. The Rambam said, if I would count Isra Hanah as a separate Isser by Bas V'Cholav, I'd have to count it as a separate Isser by chametz, and by Orla, by Kilar Kerem, which also Isra Hanah. And all you have to have a lot more mitzvahs, okay? A handful of more mitzvahs. So therefore, I'm telling you that it's not a separate Isser. All right? That's the... that's this. Okay, so what I want to bring out from that Rambam? Yeah, so the Rambam is saying there that again, we're just trying to sort of focus on the Isser Hanah, the Isser Achilah. That's in the first Mishnah, right? The first Mishnah. If you look back in the first Mishnah. Let's come back. You know, describing different hours for the Isser Achilah, Isser Hanah, and so on. But now at least we understand where the Isra Hanah comes from, and the different ways to look at the Isra Hanah. I think it'll be too much to go into the next issue. So, we'll stop over here. We'll have to discuss. Maybe we'll discuss in yeshiva. Next Monday is Tzom Gedalia, right? Next Monday is Tzom Gedalia. So we'll decide. I mean, by 8:30, people ate already. I don't know. Maybe we'll try and figure out. Maybe we'll have an abbreviated shiur. We'll figure something out. The following Monday is Yom Kippur. I think we're not going to have the shiur then. But next Monday, we'll talk in yeshiva. I'll talk to Roshenko. We'll figure out. Okay? So we'll stop over.